So I want to start, go back to the series. We have two messages, two tests left in the series of 10 messages. And we're talking about his dream, our destiny. You are his dream. Everyone asks, what is your dream? Now, the reality is, if we were to ask God, what is your dream? God would show you people. He would show you Heather. He'd show you Pastor Olivier. He'd show you Glenn. He would show you Shane. He would show you people. And he would say, this is my dream. There is a dream. Part of God's dream is this is a dream that God had, and he created his dream, and his overall dream is all of us together. That's why he said unity is so important, that we need to strive for unity, because when his dream comes together, dreams come together in agreement, nothing can stop the dream. When we come together, and then we have a destiny. We get to choose what we're specifically, so we're God's dream, and we're specifically, we have a destiny to walk out, that God wants us to walk out. And so today we're going to talk about the pardon test, and before I get into that, I want to show you our theme verse. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. This is the phrase in this verse that we're really looking at. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He had a dream. He saw what he wanted to do in that dream. That dream was clear, and he created you perfectly for it. In fact, at one point, I had you turn to people next to you, and I said, tell them you're perfect just the way you are. And I think that was hard for some people to accept, the fact that God does not create imperfect beings. Now, that doesn't mean we behave perfectly, right? But you are perfect. In fact, your strengths and your weaknesses are perfectly the way God wants them to be. You'll never change your weaknesses, because it would have a direct effect on your strengths. It's your character that God's wanting to work on, and these tests are working on your character, the very thing that drives even the behavior that holds us back from fulfilling the destiny. So we want to talk about the pardon test, and unless you pass the pardon test, you're really never going to walk in the destiny God has for our life, that he wants us to walk in. And we're going to take a look at Joseph's brother. We've been looking at the life of Joseph and the experience of Joseph in Genesis, and we're going to take a look at Joseph's brother. How many had, I can't ask you that question this weekend for Thanksgiving, because I don't want you to lie to me. But when you have Thanksgiving and family comes over to your house, in some cases there's something like drama that can take place, right? And there's certain relatives that maybe they're there and you say nothing's wrong, but maybe there is a little rift there, or a little bit of an edge, or a little coldness that's there. And you still haven't dealt with that. And maybe you were faced with what I'm going to talk about this morning. But there is this, if you had Joseph's brothers over for Thanksgiving after they had sold you into slavery, wanted to kill you, and would have killed you if it weren't for a brother that kept them, really, from an older brother that said, no, we're not going to do that. Really, some of the other ones wanted, and they would have followed it through, would have killed you. How would you have responded to them at the Thanksgiving table? That wouldn't have been a very interesting thing. Imagine this. There's a torture technique that has been used in, at least where I heard about it was in the Middle East, where they would come up to a family of, say, four people, a father and a mother, and they would say, either convert or we're going to kill one of your family members. And of course, they didn't convert, and they said, now, we're going to kill you all, or we'll kill one of you, but you got to pick who you want us to kill, which one of your children you want us to kill. And, after I'm sure painstaking deliberation of who they would pick. They picked that one. That's why if you're a kid today, you always want to do really good. Because you never know if you ever be in that situation. You want to be the kid they pick. Well, what they did was they would pick one of the children. Of course, what a horrible thing to be in as a parent. That's torture enough to have to pick a child. Well, they pick a child, and instead of killing the child they picked, they killed the one they didn't pick so that they got them both. So that child would always know his parents picked him. And the rift that could form, the bitterness that can form if forgiveness was not extended in that situation. So this whole thing of unforgiveness, how many know we need to be reminded of it? That it's a daily thing that the enemy is trying to attempt to get us offended. He's trying to get us in this box of bitterness and anger. He's wanting us to read into things so that we get angry about what was done to us. And I think it's happening more than ever before. Let's take a look in Genesis as we look at Joseph's life. Most people live, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us. Okay, so they're having a conversation. Jacob is dead, and they're thinking, maybe Joseph hates us. I don't know why you would even think that, guys. Maybe because you sold him into slavery, you wanted to kill him. Perhaps he will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil we did to him. They know they did evil to him, right? They know they got down on him when he was a little kid and they let the loogie come out of his mouth and almost touches him and suck it back up. They knew they tortured him like that, right? So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, and I'm sure they crafted this really well. And obviously, there's no record of Jacob ever saying any of this, but they wanted to manipulate the situation, just like daddy, like son, like daddy. You know, the apple didn't fall from the tree of the great liar Jacob, who was a great at lying and deceiving and manipulating. His sons were the same way. Look what they say before. Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. So here are the brothers, and they're telling Joseph, dad said that you should forgive us, right? They never actually apologized. Remember, when we're looking at this, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to him, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? Remember that. You want to underline that in your Bible. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is, that's another place it's important. It's a mentality. It's a mindset. It is a repented mentality. When you change the way you think, repentance is changing the way you think. There is a mentality that follows that. That is a repented mentality where God meant it for good. What was meant for evil was meant, God used it for good. In order to bring about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Even though he was treated poorly, he still treated them back well. Next slide. This is what forgiveness, because this is the first mention of forgiveness in the Bible. It's the first time we see forgiveness in the Bible. And what it means, what it actually means, what it's defined of in the Hebrew that is written, it means to release fully, to absolve fully. Or it has another form used to bear or to lift up, okay? Now, you'll remember in the New Testament when Jesus makes the statement, he says, if someone comes and takes your coat, you should say, hey, excuse me. I think that's my coat, and because it's my coat, oh, no, it's not your coat. No, I'm pretty sure it's my coat, but you can't use the coat without the scarf. Here, take that too. Right? What is Jesus saying? He's saying, literally, this is an incredible thing, that the sin the man committed when he took your coat is not a sin if you determine to give it to him. That literally, you absolve them of that offense of taking the coat, you actually return and say, no, I'm giving it to you. There you go. And here's something else to put on that so that it's not a sin against you. Does that make sense? Isn't that incredible? That literally, in a way, you're almost forgiving their sin when you forgive them of that offense. Joseph, what he was doing, go back. He says, release fully or to absolve, sorry about that, to release fully or absolve fully, to bear or to lift up. That when we absolve someone's sin, we're literally saying, I'm not letting this affect me and I'm not going to let it affect you. Isn't that incredible? Some of you are thinking right now, well, Pastor, you wouldn't say that if you knew what was done to me. You would say I was justified to get vengeance, that I should get revenge, that there needs to be retribution. That's a good Christian word that I've heard used in regards to not willing to forgive. There needs to be some type of retribution for what was done. That was important. It's a great Old Testament mentality. But Jesus is saying that we need to forgive to absolve fully. Let's go to Colossians. I want to show you this in Colossians. Therefore, as the elect of God, any of the elected God in here? We're the elect. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, longsuffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. I think we read over that and we say, yeah, that's incredible. But what the verse is really saying is that in the same manner God forgave you and forgot about it, how many believe that if God took your sins and threw them as far as the east is from the west? That on the cross, all of your sin was placed on Christ. Yep. Past, present, and future sin was placed on Christ. If it's on Christ, where is it not? On you, because you have been forgiven. Again and again in the Bible, it says that we are to forgive in the same manner for which God forgave us. That we're to absolve, just as he absolved fully all of those things that you did, that you know you shouldn't have done, that were considered to be sins, as he took it on, put it on Christ, that we are to do that. We are to take all of those things that other people have done to us, and we're to give it to Christ. We're to let it pass through so we don't get offended. Somebody's offended in here. You have offenses that you're carrying. You said, I don't think I got offenses. Yeah, probably like you're not afraid of the coronavirus. You know, it's crazy how people will say, yeah, I don't have any fear. And then all of our decisions are based out of it. Are you with me this morning? And even saying that offended somebody. That make sense? Right? The enemy is trying to trip you up. The enemy is trying to get you to be offended, to hold a grudge so that he can make you bitter. You will never accomplish your destiny when you're bitter, when you're angry, when you have unforgiveness. It goes on in verse 17 and says this, but above, and whatever you do in the word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That we're to forgive people because of who he is, not because of who they are. that why do I forgive people? Not because they deserve my forgiveness, but because I didn't deserve God's forgiveness and he gave it to me. That's why I forgive people who don't deserve to be forgiven, right? You don't forgive innocent people. You forgive guilty people. You forgive people that don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't, if no one's hurt us, we don't go up to them and say, I forgive you. For what? What did I do to you? Just breathe. You just breathe. You used my breath, but I forgive you for it, right? You don't forgive innocent people. So there are three things I want to talk about in this whole idea of forgiveness. And the first one is release. We have to release. We have to release. To release them totally and completely from all charges against them. If you're married, this means when you forgive your spouse, you forget all of those things. You say, well, I can't forget them. Well, then don't forget them, but you don't continue to bring them up and use them against your spouse. Or you never really forgave them. It just got quiet in here. I think we have this idea that I will, forgiveness is packing it up and putting it in a box until I need it again. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is releasing fully from those charges, absolving fully from those charges, saying, I let you go from what you've done and deserve, that I didn't deserve that and you deserve, but I'm going to let you off the hook. Well, I don't want to let them off the hook. I want them to suffer a little bit before because that really hurt my feelings. Do you know why your feelings were hurt? It wasn't because of what they said. It was because of your own insecurity. Because when you know who you are, it doesn't matter what a lot of people say, you just know who you are. The reason you got hurt wasn't because of what they said, it was because you don't really know who you are and you're not confident in it. Because there will always be people who say things about you or do things to you. But if you know who your provider is and you know who's in charge of your life and sits on the throne, you know who your bridegroom is, there isn't anyone who's actually going to hurt you if you decide not to be hurt. You have to choose to be offended. Now, there's a couple quiet amens in there. I hope online people are going, amen. And there's a married couple online watching said, I've already shut this off. I'm not, just, I don't want to. Here's the passage to this. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. It was a lie. It was a lie. They wanted to protect themselves. So these brothers are lying to cover up the offense that they had done to Joseph. I remember a number of years ago, I had said something about, there was a gentleman in my small group, and he and I off, we would talk about what he was going through, and he said to me something, and I took that, and anyway, I was in with that gentleman. Then I was in another conversation, and we were talking about that couple, and I said, you know, the fact of the matter is, she's really Hitler, the daughter of Hitler, and somehow that word got back to her that I had said that. And she called me and said, Pastor, did you say I was the daughter of Hitler? And in that moment, I can tell you, you know what went through my head? What goes through your head when something like that comes out? Come on, be honest. What goes through your head when that comes back to when the hens come home to roost, right? Lie, 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 right? Immediately your head is there something in you saying lie, 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 lie. And I sat there and as I'm thinking and I'm evaluating, oh no, I'm in trouble, right? Because it was more in passing. I said, you know what? Yeah, I did say that. And she's like, Pastor, that hurt me. But you know what? Had you lied, I wondered if I would ever forgive you, but I'm going to forgive you for saying that to me. And we had a conversation later, and I shared with her why I said that, and actually ended up being a very healthy thing. God was able to bring healing in her through all of it, and if I had lied, it would not have brought anything. These brothers come to Joseph, and they're lying. They're not even admitting they did wrong. They said, our fathers said we did wrong. Now, remember what their father thought? The father thought Joseph died of ferocious animals. When we lie, we compound it. And look at what Joseph does. Joseph, of all the people in this room right now and watching online, had reason to hate his brothers. Had reason to be vindicated or get retributions because his brothers never asked for forgiveness. So let me ask you this. Can you forgive someone even when they don't admit it? Can you forgive someone even when that person continues to lie and manipulate? Can you forgive them? Can you let that kind of flow off your back? Look at what, because this is what you do when you don't forgive. And Joseph points this out. This is what you do when you don't forgive. Look at verse 19. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You put yourself in the place of God when you don't forgive. You say, somehow, I have the right to say I don't forgive you. I don't have the right to say I don't forgive you. This is before Jesus died on the cross. Joseph is making this statement. He's saying, am I in the place of God? I wouldn't dare not forgive you and put myself in the place of God because I'm the son of the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge and jury. I do not determine it. We release it and we forgive it. When you do that, when you're releasing it and you forgive, you release yourself from bondage. You release God to work in the situation. You release yourself from bondage and you release God to work. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you don't forgive, this is what you'll end up doing. Rather than living to fulfill your purpose, you'll live to prove you were right. You'll live to prove that, to get vindication. That is a very lonely place and a very miserable place to be, trying to prove that I'm worthy or you were wrong and you're trying to prove that you were right. Joseph could have lived for vindication, but he didn't. Leviticus 19:19 says this, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Look at Romans 12. It says this, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not ours. So when you take vengeance, when you start talking about people behind their back, when you say things to destroy people, what you're doing is you're stepping in the place of God. There was another woman when we were in Michigan, and she had been saying all kinds of things, and in fact she tried to do something, tried to get a bunch of people to just hate us, really. Hate me and the lead pastor at the time. And I remember I was praying and I'm like, the Lord said to me, James, you need to forgive this person even while she was doing it. And I said, Lord, let me just share some details with you because he needs to know some things, right? Before he just goes and tells you. I thought I'd let him in on a few details that he might have forgotten about or didn't know about. And we all, as Christians, we don't all play the game, right? We're like, yeah, God, I've forgiven her. And if the Holy Spirit continually comes back to you and says you need to forgive them, you haven't forgiven them. We're really good at lying to ourselves and deceiving ourselves. But I thought the Holy Spirit needed help, so I'm telling him some of the things that he needs to know about her. And then I said, Lord, you know, you really need to bring vengeance on her. You know, I would say things like, I have forgiven her, but I need to help her realize that darkness that she is walking in right now needs to be dealt with. Like, yeah, I know, God, I've forgiven her, but I'm just helping her, right? This is the statement that really changed my whole view of forgiveness. God said, okay, James, I'll give her the kind of vengeance that you want me to give her, but then I'll have to give it to you as well. I can tell you, in that moment, I was like, okay, God, I changed my mind. Give her grace. Because if I have to, because if I want God to respond to them, he's going to respond to me the same way. We love to think that our offenses are not as bad as theirs. Like, a great example of that is I married my father-in-law. My wife has, you know, her father, and then she married her father, really. But he's like, I'm not as bad as James. And I'm like, I'm not as bad as my father-in-law. We're exactly the same. But we always think everyone else is worse than us. Yeah, I do that, but I'm not that bad. You probably are. Good morning. Are you here? I had to release her. God doesn't go around thinking about my sin. God doesn't go around figuring out a way to make me pay. You don't forgive people that were right. You forgive people that were wrong. You forgive people that had offended me. Here's the next one we receive. Here's the thought. Believe a lot of people cannot give forgiveness because they've never received it. In order to give forgiveness, you have to receive forgiveness. That's why so many people are bound, is they've never received the forgiveness of God in their own life. And it's difficult for them to give it. Look at Matthew. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. God, forgive us so that we're able to forgive. Show us how to forgive, that the spirit of forgiveness is on us, that we might forgive others around her. Forgive us as we have been forgiven. If we didn't deserve forgiveness and you forgave us, even when we've done it again and again and again, how many done the did it again sins? Right? Anyone in here? And those who aren't in here, you just committed a sin of lying. You did it again. I did it again. I did it again sin. And we say, Lord, how many times should I forgive them? 70 times 7, he says, you should forgive them all the time. Why? Because we're forgiven. We forgive as we have been forgiven. The did it again sins. Matthew 6 goes on and says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We don't forgive because we don't totally believe we're forgiven. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely we've received forgiveness. We don't have. The reason we expect other people to do things to earn our forgiveness is because we believe we have to do things to earn our forgiveness from God. You want to know the picture of how you feel you're forgiven? You say, yeah, I believe I'm forgiven. Well, let's take a look at how you've forgiven people who've done something against you in your life, and we'll see how well you believe you're forgiven. Because as you freely receive, you will just freely give. That's by the way, that's how we know whether or not we believe God has given us everything we have. Because if we believe God has given us everything we have, our money, really everything we have, we freely give. without question. When we hold back, there's a part of us that thinks that God's given me some things, but I've done a lot of it. You freely receive, you freely give. Here's the last one, we believe. The third point is we believe. Psalms 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at the treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? He does not take his eyes off the righteous. He enthrones them with kings and exalts them forever. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God. So that God, you're the righteousness of God because Christ forgave you. He took on your sins and said, you know what? I'm going to take on the sins of man, and God forgave you. You're forgiven. God is so good that he didn't need you to say, I'm sorry, before he took on your sins. Now, I'm going to end with this. Corrie ten Boom, who was in a Nazi camp, tells of the story that when she had gotten out of the camp, her sister had died at the hands of a German soldier. She tells the story about how she was speaking at a conference on forgiveness. She had been talking on forgiveness, and the crowd was pretty big crowd that was sitting there. And when she finished, she got done, and as she would do, she'd go down and talk to people. And she was Dutch, so she had that broken English in her language, where she'd break in German. And if you ever heard her speak English, it was very broken. She was talking to people, and then at the end, she was in the back of the auditorium where they were at. And she looks up, and coming to her was the Roman soldier who had tortured her sister. And he says to her, I was so moved by what you said today. It touched my heart, and I'm here to ask for your forgiveness. And Corrie said, honestly, he put his arm out, and I stood there, and it felt like much time went by. She's like, I couldn't put my physical hand up to forgive this man after I had just talked about forgiveness. How many know it's a lot easier to sit here today when you don't know of anyone you need to forgive, but when all of a sudden you get the emotions involved and your insecurities are exposed, that's pretty hard to forgive someone. Because we really look for people to build up who we believe we are, rather than to believe what God says about us. We're constantly looking for people to kind of support us rather than just trust what God says about us. She said it was something, and in her moment, she said, God, you're going to help me forgive this person. She said, in the moment she turned it over to the Lord, her arm went up. She says, I don't think I put it up. I think something in me, my spirit, put it up, and I hugged that person, and I forgave that person. But it was an act of God in her. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes you have to surrender and let the spirit man of who you really are in you be what he needs to be, to do what God needs you to do. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you're never going to walk in your destiny. Unforgiveness will always keep you from where God's wanting to take you every time. Now here's the question. Do you believe? Or do you just know that? Because you don't do what you know, you respond and obey to what you believe. You don't do what you know, you do what you believe. You can know there's a God, but that doesn't save you until you believe in what he did on the cross for you. Will you bow your head? Father, thank you for what you're about to do today in this room and online. Lord, I pray in this moment that your Holy Spirit would begin to interact in the hearts of every person in this room and that you would judge any unforgiveness in them. Lord, if there is something they have not dealt with someone, that name is already in your mind. You already see their face. You're already in your, and some of you are thinking, I thought I forgave that already. But right now, the Holy Spirit is bringing somebody, a situation to your attention because he wants you to address that today. He wants to heal that in your heart today.